Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Tea Talk Time Show. This is the ladies of Tea Talk Time, and today is June the 18th. Yeah, I think I got it right this time. Anyways, I have my beautiful co-host here with me, and we are going to be discussing today fighting fear. Last week, we had a great show. We had a great discussion, reflecting on the half quarter of the year and talking about the different things that has been happening throughout the year, knowing that typically, at this time of the year, in the month of June, a lot of people are re-evaluating, re-looking at their goals, where they're at, the things that they wanted to accomplish, that they may want to pick up speed, may need to evaluate a few things. So we talked about that, and we also talked about, things that have happened throughout our country, throughout the world. We lost a few icons in the past couple of months, natural disaster. We have an historic moment that is going on right now in history with our presidential campaign and the election. So there's quite a bit of things that have happened in the past 6 months within the country.
And ironically, the night, we talked about everything that has been going on from entertainment to, as Stacey mentioned, what's going on in politics. And we even hinted on a little bit of things that has happened that were unpredictable, things like with the, I believe we touched on as far as the, what's going on in ecosystem, the weather.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In California, Southern California, is under a massive, they're just up in a blaze with all the recent fires due to the heat.
Yeah.
That's like a state of national emergency. And ironically, we were talking about, things that has happened. The night of our, we talked about the death of the contestant, or the murder, I would say, the contestant from the Voice.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about crime, of course, but we did not know within, I guess, 24 hours. Discussing that we had the massacre at the Pulse nightclub in Florida.
Yes.
So, life happens. Things are happening every day. Regardless if it makes major headlines or just your small city headlines, it's good to stay informed, educated, and know what's going on with the world around you. But yeah, last week was a great show.
Mm-hmm.
I truly enjoyed it. Just taking the time back to reflect on 2016.
Right, and even as you mentioned, what happened like less than 24 hours later in Orlando, then, at Walt Disney too, because Orlando has been in the news all week. That little boy, that tragic and sad story of that little boy that was, taken by the alligator. They did find his body and everything is intact. Now here, all the blames and stuff are coming in, and the parents they're planning to sue Walt Disney. They're investigating. Somebody was saying that TMZ put up a report, or TMZ was showing pictures of area around where the little boy was, and they're saying that not swimming is not allowed. From what I've seen on the news, it clearly said swimming is not allowed there. But they're saying it's an area where kids play quite often. There. So, that's not an excuse for a lot of people are saying that there are signs there or whatnot. So I wasn't quite sure. But some people say that there was sign that said that is a restricted area. you know, and there's no swimming allowed there, and they should not have been in that particular area where the little boy was taken. But in any event, it's still sad.
Definitely a tragedy, unexpected. And those are the hardest things to, for me, I would assume, to swallow. Not only is it unexpected, it is the odds of something like that happening anyone that's at a vacation, a popular vacation resort, is just, who can relate to that?
Nobody can, actually.
Right. You know, how do you move on? But you do got to press on. And it's just, my heart definitely goes out to the family. Everybody, when situations like this happen, everyone wants to find fault and blame. And obviously no parent would knowingly put their child at risk of any type of danger. So for those people who are so quick to be judgmental, you never know. Heck, that could have been my kid. You know, you don't purposely put your kids in harm's way. But also, on the flip side, there are some parents that are extremely negligent. Mm-hmm. We see them every day when we go to the mall or the grocery store. I see them all the time when I'm driving in, say, for instance, and you know, like driving in the parking lot of Walmart, and here you are trying to find parking or leave the parking, and you'll see a young boy trailing his parents.
And it's,
you know,
even,
in the parking lot.
Yeah, and it's not even only places like Walmart. For example, the last weekend they opened up the new Puerto Tropical in Fort Worth, and I was coming back from the black restaurant week in Dallas, which it got rained out, so it ended like hours before it was supposed to be scheduled to be over. So anyways, you know, there goes my whole commute, driving an hour to Dallas, and it was washed out. Well, then on my way back, I was starving at this point because I was saving my appetite, so I decided to stop at the Puerto Tropical. You know, they had a grand opening at one that is up the street from me, up there by Brian Irvin. So I stopped over there, and I'm looking at this little boy. From the moment he walked into the restaurant with his parents, he started running around all over the place. He's touching the, you know, over where they have the sauces and stuff like that. He's over there with the spoon in the thing, and I'm just looking at him, and it wasn't just, she had an older child with her, and there was another adult with her. But they are oblivious to this little boy just running around the place. So when I placed my order and I went to get the sauces and I saw him over there, I said to him, I said, go stay with your mother. So he looked at me and I was like, and don't touch the food. I said, this is not your house. So his sister walked over and I said to her, take your brother to your mother, because apparently you guys are not watching the news. Just a few days ago, you saw how brazen that man was to grab the little girl right in the store with her mother. At least she was close enough because she had her child with her. In this situation, it could have been a different situation because she is on one side of the restaurant and he's on the other side doing whatever he wants. No supervision whatsoever. And, like, those are the things that drive me crazy, and I don't get it. And I know we left the whole topic, but I mean, and that's why now even when you go to department stores, they have to have signs in the department store making announcements: do not let your children run around, because they're pulling down the items, sitting on them in the store, playing even by themselves sometimes in corners of the store. And I'm like, this is not your house. This is not the safety of your home where you know your child is safe. And how could you just let them just run around and do whatever they want? I don't know. But anyways, yeah. So
And I think it's everyone's responsibility, if they have children or not. if you see some type of behavior that in which a child is putting themselves in some type of harm's way, to speak up. You know, just, I mean,
yeah.
I just say it does.
I had to say something to his sister because she came over there because I guess she was trying to figure out where he was. And I'm like, is that your brother? Because I saw when she came in with the both ladies, but, you know, not because it's two adult women. So I wasn't sure if she belonged to one or, you know, how the situation was set up. I said, is that your brother? She said, yes. I said, take him and stay with your mom. I said, they take kids every day. And she looked at me like, and she said, come, you know, she hold his hand and she tell him, you know, let's go. But, I mean, he's all over the place. No, they're not even seeing where he is because they're over there by where you order your food, which is at the entrance when you first come in and you walk up to the counter. The sauces and the utensil stuff are on another side of the store when there's another door to exit on the other side. So you don't. Somebody could have taken him and just walked right out. But anyway, girl. What we are talking about.
Yeah, that's one of the things that under me and Stacey.
I'm sorry, Dee. I'm just saying that was my experience last week. So when you brought up the whole Walmart situation, I can relate with it so much because I see it happen every day, and I just don't understand it. I don't understand it because, you know, I've been around parents, you know, like yourself and other people that are so guarded, that are so, like, you know, till their kids. And because my mom was like that with us, where we feel like we couldn't even breathe as children. You know, we couldn't wait to grow up because she was one of those mothers that clung to us so much. Deep, trust me, believe me, we grew up on an island and none of us cannot swim. Well, now my older sister knows how to swim, and that's because 10 years ago she went to the Y and started taking lessons. Because this lady, we are surrounded by water. She feared her children were going to drown, because especially during the summertime on the islands, that's where it makes headline news. Every summer you have at least, I promise you, at least 5 children end up drowning every summer. Because we're surrounded by water, it's an island, so yeah, it's tropical, it's warm. So we go to the rivers, we go to the beach to, you know, cool down, cool off, play, have fun, all of that type of stuff. But every summer, and sometimes it doesn't have to be summer, but most times it happens a lot in summer because kids are out of school and we're home. You hear about drownings on the island of kids, you know, they lose sight of them or they get into the water even with their parents and the current is so strong they wash them away and stuff like that. Or even with adults, you hear about stuff like that happening all the time, very frequently across the islands. That's how it is. So for her, we didn't go near the water, even though we went to the beach. But she tell you the same way you came back, the same way you got there dry, you're leaving dry. Because she can't, because she making sure she lives with you. So we didn't know how to swim. So when people are like, how you grew up on an island and you can't swim? I said, you don't know my mama. And the first time that I went in the water and all that, and we were having fun and whatnot, and kids are playing, and somebody was, till now I have a fear of great body of water because I will never forget, like, one of my cousins grabbed a hold of me, and I couldn't come back up. And he was like, I was trying to force you to swim, and I was like, yeah, but I felt like I was drowning. Seriously. So I'm like, no, if it go past my neck, I ain't going in it.
That's right.
So, but, you know, it's something that it's on my bucket list, though, because I want to do scuba diving at some point. So it is on my bucket list. But I'm just saying, you know, as parents, we remember her sheltered and, you know, watch over us so much that we felt like we couldn't breed as kids. We really did. You know, but those days seem to be gone. You still have parents like I said, Dee, you know, a good friend of ours, Lauren, that is like that. But I mean, and I commend you guys for being young people that are so, you know, close to and keep, you know, like mama eagles watching over your kids, because it's not like that anymore. It's rough. But anyways, today's topic is about fighting fear. And when I say fighting fear, we are not literally mean physically fighting fear. You have conflict that you go through every day in your day-to-day life. Whether it's in your relationship, your marriage, on the job, with your siblings, relatives, it doesn't matter. You are put in a position sometime when you get into fights. And one of the things that I noticed that we don't know how to do as a culture is we don't fight fear. We hit below the belt. We use even secrets, mistakes, and those type of things to attack each other. You know, we go for, as I would say, the jackler. And those things, because sometimes you get into debates or you get into fights, you know, whatever situation you're in, you're angry. And you just lash out and you don't think about what you're saying before you say it. And it's, I would say, you know, it's human nature sometimes, I guess, for us to get worked up. But, you know, what I'm learning is it's good sometimes to step away from a situation and count to 10, as they would say. Just take a walk before you say something that you're going to regret or do something that is potentially going to harm another person or even become physical. Because sometimes you feel emotionally so angry and so frustrated, it becomes physical. You know, I would suggest that you take a walk, take a drive, get out of the house, go into another room if you have to, or get out of the environment completely before it escalates and it turns into something that you're later on going to regret. So pretty much that's what we're talking about today, is the art of fighting fear and how to fight fear, you know, with each other, especially when it comes to our significant other, the people that we say we love and we're sharing a life and a space with every single day. Because most oftentimes, everybody that is, you know, whether you've gone to college or technical institute, any type of higher education, you know, they teach you in communication to how to fight fairly or even how to deal with conflict on the job. You know, how not to make your environment a hostile work environment. That's where your HR and stuff like that comes in. And what I've realized is that people are more careful at their job, how they treat each other, what they say, and what they do, because this is their livelihood and they, you know, they need their paycheck. And, of course, they're not going to be disrespectful to their superiors. However, when they come home, all of that they were taught in English class, you know, about fighting fear, how to communicate well, about, you know, taking some time, about taking a walk, taking a drive, because all of this is teach in English 101 and communication 101. If you're a journalism major or something like that, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But when we get home, all of that is through the door. We say whatever we want to each other. We, you know, behave as though we want to behave, and we think we have a right to and that we're entitled. And I think sometimes it's detrimental to our relationship and how we communicate with each other. And, you know, the things that we say can be so hurtful, and sometimes you can't take it back. You know, you hear them say, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can't. I disagree. I cannot remember who said this, but in school, we grew up hearing a quote that say, the pen is mightier than the sword. And it has stuck with me throughout my adult life because I truly believe it. And when he said the pen is mightier than the sword, he's literally saying your words have more power than the actual sword. Because when people say something to you, even as kids, sometimes the things that adults say to you stick with you, whether it's negative or positive, because words hurt. And you can't forget sometimes the things that people say to you because it hurts you so deeply. It cuts you so deeply. You're wounded so deeply. It takes some people even years therapy to get over the choices of words and things that people say to you. So that's what we're talking about, learning to fight fear and choosing the right language and the right way of how to communicate with each other and how to respect each other within our relationships, whether it be marriage, your partnerships, you know, with your children, your siblings, all of that, because we do it at work. But when we leave work, for some reason, we forget all the things that we were taught, and we forget about the boundaries. We forget about respect. We forget about sometimes and not necessarily to be so honest. So that's what we're talking about. So, you know, so let me ask you, Dee, what do you think? Do you think, you know, that it is true that we sometimes forget what we do at work, we forget? We forget how to apply the same communication, the same concept at home with, when we're discussing or communicating with each other? Do you think?
I feel that overall, for the most part, and can you hear me?
Yeah, I can.
I think, and I don't know if this may or may not answer the question, but I think it's very important that we're careful on how we do communicate, regardless of where our attitude is.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes our attitude, our tensions, or our issues can come off in the way we communicate, and that concern or that issue that we have may have nothing to do with the current situation that we're in. I know a lot of times if you have issues at home, a lot of times sometimes people bring that to the workplace, and it can have an impact on how you're perceived, how you are received, and how you just overall to, and I feel like I'm talking in circles, but
no.
The way I look at it overall is that we have to be careful. There is a biblical scripture, and I don't know what it is, but it basically references that death can come from the tongue.
Mm-hmm.
Be very careful in what you say, because you can never, once it leaves your vocal cords, is out, you cannot take that back. You can't take that back. And I think, you know, there's a certain way that you handle certain situations. Some people know that they don't have a filter. You know,
mm-hmm.
Some people know that they understand and they acknowledge and they even embrace the fact that they don't have control, which to me is sad in itself. But, yeah, we have to really watch how we communicate with each other, because it can come off completely the wrong way. And that's even through text communication.
Yeah.
You know, we're in an age of technology, and you can communicate with somebody for months, weeks, days, or even hours, and never hear their voice. I mean, this has happened to everyone. You've either read a text the wrong way or interpreted a text the wrong way and responded in a negative manner, or maybe not even responded in a negative manner back to that person, but it had a negative impact on the way you perceive that situation or that individual, and it could have been completely, totally unfounded.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of courses that are available through local community colleges and even online that can help you learn how to manage your emotions as well as how to communicate in an effective manner. And I think that if more people were able to or knew the art or learned the art of communication, a lot of disagreements, and we can disagree,
mm-hmm.
a lot of disagreements would end at just a disagreement, not a major argument or a major blow up. But I know I kind of went all over the place, but I hope I somewhat answered your question.
No, it makes sense to me. You know, as I was saying before, you know, you quoted Proverbs in regards to where it says there's life and death in the tongue. And, you know, and I was saying, too, when we were growing up, and I'll never forget it, it has served me throughout my adult life as a child or, you know, young child, teenager, adolescent, whatever. A quote that one of my teachers used to quote all the time, she used to say that the pen is mightier than the sword. And, you know, what basically she was saying is that your words have power. Your words have a lot of power. And as I was saying, you can say things to people that affect them for the rest of their lives, where some people even go through therapy to have to learn to forget certain things. But what I have found is that we apply more restrictions when we're at work, because a lot of times we need our job. We are more careful as to how we treat people, the things that we say, and how we handle conflicts, you know, because then when we are at home. And, you know, right now I'm sure you've seen the headline news, especially for African-American women are one of the most educated women in the world right now. And yet still, our men claim that we're the most argumentative, you know, and all of those type of stuff. And I'm sure we have all done the communication class, because if you go through any higher education course, getting your degree or whatever it is, everybody is recommend you have to take an English class. And in English class, they teach you the art of communication, or if you're doing a journalism degree or whatever it is or anything, you have to take communication course as well, where, as Dee was talking about, they teach you the art of communicating and all of that type of stuff. And I was just saying, you know, take a walk sometimes. Get in the car, get out of the environment, count to 10. But, you know, the point I'm trying to make is, and that's why I agree with what Dee is saying, is that sometimes we forget all of those things once we get home. And we forget that the people that we coexist with, you know, outside of our work environment are people too, and they feel and they hurt just as much. And we should value them just as much as we value that career. That you're so careful of how you behave, what you say, and what you do there, because you don't want to create what they call a hostile work environment. You don't want people to feel uncomfortable around you and stuff like that. So what I'm suggesting is that we do the same thing in our everyday lives, not just at work, where we're more on guard and we're more careful. You know, we treat the people too in our lives just the same. And the first thing I think it starts with is knowing your own feelings. That's the first thing. Know how, as Dee was saying, some people actually know how they feel. They know they have no filter. They know how they are. And if you know that about yourself, then you should be very careful of what you say, even more so than the person who is not so in touch with who they are in touch with their feelings. You know, be conscious of the other people's feelings or the other parties and stuff like that when you're communicating, especially if it's a heated situation and all of that type of, as we know and as we say, you cannot control how someone else is going to react to a situation or how far they're going to take it to, you know, your reaction or how they're reacting to something that you do. So that's why you have to be careful of how you start something, because you don't know how the other person is going to feel. And I'm going to give you a popular example that we have going on right now, which has to do a little bit with some entertainment people right now, Ciara and Fuchsia. Ciara made a song pretty much dissing Fuchsia. You know, this is a man she was engaged to, and I've seen many interview clips with her professing her love and talking about how much she loved this person and how well he treated her and how good he's loving her. And, yeah, we all know relationships don't always work out. You have your disagreements, your disputes, whatever it is, and you move on. That's fine. But she made a song about their relationship and how she was feeling. and what she was, she felt, and she had a right to do that. However, as I stated, and it's communication one-on-one, before you speak, if you're not too thin-skinned, be careful of what you start, because you don't know how the other, you cannot control how the other person is going to react to your, to you, or how far they're going to take it. When she made a song about, you know, the girl, I guess, is implying about him cheating and whatever it is, and then he said something back, everybody from social media and everything, and that's one of the things that I, with women, they jumped all over him, and they, everybody backed her up. But when he said something, he's not being a man, he's acting petty, you know, why are you doing this, why are you doing that? And I'm like, but she started it.
It don't matter. It doesn't matter, in my opinion, who starts what. You have to still remain your own sense of dignity. You have to. Mm-hmm. You know, her level was telling her side of the story. He, on the other hand, was being disrespectful. I think if he came, like for instance, Usher's song, he had a breakup song as well. It was called Sign Those Papers or Get Them Papers. And he was referring to his divorce from Tamika. And he didn't get bashed, and that was a male basically celebrating or commiserating the end of his relationship, in this case his marriage, and it wasn't perceived as disrespectful if it's done in a tasteful manner. You know, there's no problem in my eyes with what Ciara did with her song, but he came back, nothing that he said about her was, everything that he said about her, the way he came across, very, very disrespectful. So I think that might be a little bit of a difference, the way, and it could be because of the music, the type of music that he produces. He's a rapper. And that genre does not necessarily have not been known or even known to respect women or hold women in high regard. Even, you know, even as Beyonce's husband, Jay-Z, he referred to Beyonce as the B in one of the compilation songs that he did with Kanye West. But for the most part, I think that may be a little bit different because he was disrespectful, and she did it in a classy manner.
I don't know if you putting down another woman, whether you agree with how she looks about her fake hair and her silicone is classy, but, you know,
the
difference of opinion.
When she addressed him and what was done, that's the attack that people were talking about, not necessarily what she said about a woman that he might have been cheating with. I don't think too many people had that much compassion towards a woman that was cheating with her man. I think the people got alarmed by her addressing the situation with him and not necessarily talking about a woman that he may have been dealing with. But, you know, with everything to be said, relationships, those are very sticky situations. Everyone has their own views and opinions as to what's tasteful, what's tactful. Obviously, some people do it knowing that they are being tacky. You know, Ciara may have came from a place where she was trying to be offensive. You know, we, you know, truly never know. But you're right. She probably knew. If you know who you're with, or if you know the guy, if that's your ex, you know what they're very well capable of. So I think she was somewhat prepared to know how he may respond towards her if she came out with a song that was obviously about him and their relationship.
Well, the only thing I can say is I couldn't understand or figure out was you started something And that's what part of the reason too, when I looked at when I heard the judge throughout the case and I was curious and I looked at the article or the judge statement, that was what the judge even quoted some stuff from her song. Because, you know, and that's the point what I was really trying to get at is that don't start something that you really can't control how far it's going to go and how somebody else is going to react. You never know, you know. And, yeah, she still have a right to tell her story and to do it in whatever level she wants to use or whatever field or whether it's a book, a song, whatnot. She's an entertainer in whatever way she wants to express herself. But my thing is prepare that it may not go the way you want it to go or that he may say something that is going to hurt or other people may perceive as him being petty and, you know, all of that type of stuff. But once you start something, you don't know how it's going to play out. And that's exactly the point that the judge, based on what I read, and the judge was making to her why she threw the case out and even quoted some of the stuff that she said in the song. You know, not just her attacking the woman, and believe you me, you know how I feel about that. But I'm saying is because she said stuff about him too, you know, about how he did this or did whatever it is, but that was the judge feeling too. You started all of this pettiness and this mess in the media. You did. And now when it's not going the way how you felt it should go, or he's coming back at you harder than you came at him, why are we here? But, you know, the thing I was saying is you just have to be careful how you start something because you never know how it's gonna end out and how far it's going to go. So think about what you do or, as they say, know your own feelings. Know your own feelings and you know that it may not work out that way when you start it or it may not go as, oh, I'm just going to say something and this person may not sucker punch me for what I said because they felt more hurt than I did based off what I said or took it to a whole nother level is what I was, you know, the point I was trying to make with that situation with her and him, since it's the most current thing that I could have think of was their story. But anywho, and then, you know, you also have anger is an emotion, which is neither wrong or right. It's just a part of who we are, but it's how we handle that anger and how we handle that emotion and how we choose to deal with situations. Are you going to take it, you know, and in different situations, different things happen. You know, especially I know when people are dealing with their kids, they see red all the time. If it means a threat to their children, there is no conflict resolution. There is no counting to 10. Taking a walk, nothing. They're just going to do something that could possibly, as long as it be protecting their kids and protecting, you know, their family and those type of stuff. But, you know, in a lot of things, I think that we do have time sometimes to step back before we react and think about the situation or have a one-on-one with the person after you cool down or after things have been said or things have been done before it gets to another level.
Right.
And you also have people that like to push buttons.
Oh,
you know?
My gosh, that is
like,
so true.
They know what buttons to push, and they like pushing buttons.
That is true. That is true. You are absolutely right. There are some people that actually, they're instigators. Well, I know Dee's not really a fan of any of the reality TV shows. I am not either. But one person, personality comes to mind. When it first came, well, because my mom and my sister watch it occasionally, if I'm doing anything for them while they're watching it, then I will see what's going on. It's Kenya. She has that type of personality, it looks like to me, because I've heard my mom talk about it a couple of times. You know, there are times when, you know, I'm doing her toes or something like that, or I'm cooking while they're watching it. And you have those type of people that likes to instigate, that likes to push other people's button just to see how far they can go. And I don't get that, you know, because you do have some people who thrive off conflict. They thrive off that type of drama, that excitement. So they always are instigating situations, always are bringing up things, always pushing people's button, pushing people to the limits. And then, yeah, you do have some times when you blow your top off, when you've had so much and you can't take any more and you have tried to be the bigger person. You have to walk away many times. You have prayed about it. You have like, oh, Jesus, I need you right now. I need your deliverance. Hold my tongue. But there are times when you just lose it when you're dealing with people like the type of people that Dee is talking about. And I'm sure everybody has had situations where you have dealt with stuff like that. And I don't, you know, I tend to think that sometimes in those situations or dealing with those people, sometimes it's warrant where you just don't even want to take that count to 10 method or walk away and whatnot. You just want to just, as they say, just, you know, go at them full speed.
And but, it's normally the people that we care about the most or that knows the most about us intimately and personally, because mm-hmm. those are the ones that most people let in. Because I'm telling you, I don't think nobody on this earth knows what can set me off, other than a few exes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, about a friendship with a male or a woman. There's very few people. So when those people know what, or let me, I'll take back off to say, still sticking to the point that you just brought up, the topic as far as anger. You have people that will just watch you. Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's a family member, someone that may not know you intimately, and see how you react to certain situations, such as Kenya, which you brought up. And they'll pick at it. They'll find some type of problem that you have. If you have mentioned that you want to lose weight, well, they'll go ahead and keep that in the back of their mind. So when it's time to have a verbal combat, they'll throw up something about your weight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something about you to cause you to either be angry or feel insecure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hidden below the belt. And that's like, you know, in a couple of the research that I was looking at and, you know, I was reading I was on the psychology blog and was reading a couple of the articles that they have. That was one of the things that they suggest that people don't do in relationship, whether it's relationship in your marriage with your children, you know, as Dee said, best friends, co-workers, whatever it is, hidden below the belt, fighting fear, using things most sensitive that you know about that person, the things that you know is going to make them feel the most insecure, and use that to attack them.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know how it's going to act. You know what is the ramification of that. You know it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt more than anything else. Because we all have our insecurities. We all have the things that we have done that we're not so proud of and you know, decision mistakes, whatever. We all do. And you have those people that is in your life that know those things, and they use it against you. And it, trust me, it hurts like crap. You know, so that was one of the things that I read as Dee was talking about. He's talking about, you know, learning to fight fear. Don't use the hit below the belt. Don't use those vulnerables, those things about that you know about people to attack them.
Right.
You know, and, you know, they talk, and there was one other phrase that they used that I absolutely like: negotiation and compromise are essential in any type of conflict resolution, any type of communication. You have to be able to learn to, as Dee would said before, you know, we can disagree, but agree to disagree. That's we all have our own perspective, our own experience, our own, you know, thought process, learning process, And the things that we have done or, you know, gone through, that's mold and shape the way we perceive things, the way we understand, the way we learn, the way how we feel about situation. And it doesn't necessarily have to be the way somebody else feels. So learn to agree to disagree. Negotiation and compromise are essential, as they said in the article, you know. So learn that, you know, I understand what you're saying. I get your point. My perspective may be a little bit different. But, you know, we can agree to disagree.
Just
and to have mutual respect for each other.
So Stacey and I just agreed over the Sierra and future situation. Sometimes when someone when there's a disagreement, meaning that two parties are not in unison with their thought on a particular topic, instead of saying, okay, you know, I respect your views, let's go on, sometimes people want to keep on honing in the fact that they're right to show you that you're wrong. And then it gets to the point where someone gets agitated, if not both parties, and then something really small escalates to something that is blown out of proportion.
Correct.
A lot of times that happens when the issue has nothing to do with the conversation at hand.
Mm-hmm.
It could have been an issue the day before, a couple of weeks earlier, you know, or something that someone's holding on to. That's why effective communication is key. And understanding and being able, like Stacey just said, being able to learn how to disagree and move on.
So I had loved that one. I think I touched on, there was another one that I liked too, but I think we kind of both touched on it. It was the cool down period, the cooling off periods, which is, you know, what we were suggesting about taking a walk, counting to 10, you know, remove yourself from the situation completely. And come back to it, even a few hours later. I mean, you know, go chill at a girlfriend's, at one of your boys' house, something like that, you know, have a drink somewhere, and then come back and look at it. But one suggestion that I would say, though, that I didn't see in a lot of the articles, whether from the psychology blogs and stuff like that I was reading, it didn't say anything about forgiving. And when it comes to conflict, that's one of the key things that I think is important. Being able to disagree to, you know, agree to disagree, which is where you negotiate and you compromise. Okay, I don't agree with how you see this, but I am going to either allow you to do this or I'm going to do this with you and we'll see how it works out. Maybe it works out differently for you than it did for me, but based on my perspective, my experience, the way I relate, the way I communicate, the way I, you know, whatever it is, I don't think it's a good idea, or I don't see it this way, but because of so-and-so and so, I'm going to do this, whatever. Don't let things fester. Don't let things settle for too long before you learn to forgive and move on, because then it's going to turn into something that you can't not recover from. And, you know, I didn't see that they talked about the forgiving part, you know, and if there is a point where you need to resolve it very quickly, don't let things sit for too long unresolved, whether you need to apologize or you need to say, you know what, we agree to disagree. I'm sorry. I didn't mean that. I didn't mean to, you know, if it's a domestic situation, like we brought up the Sierra and whatnot, you're raising a child. This is not about your feelings. You now have a life that you are responsible for together that is more important than what you feel. You know, you have moved on with your life, both of you. You're winning, if you ask me. You found something bigger and better. Move on. And, you know, forgive, for the sake of you, but for the sake of the children. And that goes for anybody who are dealing with conflict right now, you know, and fighting, learning to fight fear with your exes and whatever the situation is. You have to get to a point where it's not about you. It's about your health, your internal health too, your peace of mind. Are you going to continue to fester this and and whatnot, and 25 years down the line, you're still talking about this. You're still, while this person has lived and moved on, and it's 25 years later or 50 years later, you have to get to a point where sometimes you have to even accept, I'm never going to get an apology. I'm never going to get that I'm sorry, or you were right and I was wrong. It's never going to happen. But for you to be whole and to live a fulfilling life and to just be happy yourself, let it go. It happened. You take the lessons that you learn from it and move on. So that's one of the things I didn't see they mentioned in a lot of the articles that I was reading. But I know, you know, but they talked about a lot of stuff, you know, feedback and clarification, gain new understanding, implementing change, changing how you communicate, how you talk, how you treat that person. If you know this is a weak area for them or trigger spot, don't go there. Don't say this. Don't do certain things because you know it's going to cause certain things. Because a lot of time, as Dee clearly brought up, we know, especially in relationships, marriages, you know, relationships, whether it's your spouse, your sibling, friends, you kind of know those people intimately. You know the things that hurt them, the things that makes them tick. So just be more conscious of the way how you treat each other. And know that sometimes all honesty is not the best honesty. Unless somebody asks, you know. My favorite thing for the past couple of years is don't go around giving unsolicited advice. Nobody asks you, keep your mouth shut. So that's my, you know, thought process right now. I know it sounds like I kind of rambled and I went around the world, which I often do. In the first 2 minutes, I do that. However, I hope I make sense at some point with my rambling. But yeah, so that was my thought process, and in that, you know, and I'm sure Dee may have her thought process too when it comes to, you know, that. But you know, I wish that a lot of the psychologist sites and the blog sites and stuff like that had brought up, you know, the healing process too of forgiving and resolving the conflicts quickly by not letting it fester and forgiving each other and moving on, versus just letting it sit there. So, you know, what do you think about that aspect of it? Do you think that's an essential part of resolving, you know, conflict or learning to communicate or fighting fear? See, I guess I may have lost it. Anyways, we are closing or coming to a close, but you know, that's my thought process on it, and I hope something that we may have said may resonate, or you know, that you learned something about the conflict, you know, in the art of fighting fear. And as they brought up before, that there are tons of classes that are available when you want to take it to the communication level. And even online, there are tons of articles, too, and books that you can read. If you feel that you're a person that has a problem with learning to communicate well with others, learning to fight fear, you know, when you find yourself in conflict resolution issues or disagreements and stuff like that, or confrontations, because we can all do self-evaluation, we can all do look back on our life and say, are you the type of person that are always finding yourself in disagreements with people, always finding yourself in having confrontation with, you know, and then you can take inventory and you can make adjustments, you know, look at the way how maybe you're communicating, look at the way how you're handling stuff, because they could be just reacting to the things that you're doing, you know. And there are tons of books, you know, you can articles, and if you need professional help in mastering it too, I would suggest that you even talk to one of, you know, communication therapists or a psychiatrist or something like that, and they can guide you in it. And I think effective communication and learning how to communicate well, you know, how to, whether it's in conflict or not conflict, is something that is very important for how we develop how we grow, you know, and how, just how we manage our day-to-day life, because we do, the communication is so important. It's so essential in everything that we do. And we live in a world right now where I know we have moved away from actually verbally communicating with each other, and it's a lot more of Facebooking, Snapchat, Instagram, text message, but a lot of times those things can come off the wrong way, can be perceived the wrong way, be read the wrong way, because we're now abbreviating, we're not using our punctuation, our proper grammar, our periods, you know, all of those different things that we're taught in the when we do English or in the English language or communication classes and stuff like that. So I would suggest, so now probably that's why we see so much conflict resolution even amongst young people. You know, they're having issues because they don't know how to properly communicate with each other, how to properly talk to each other, you know, make each other feel good in terms of the choices of words that we use to each other. So that would be my little nugget, is that there are tons of information out there. We live in a world right now where technology and information is at our fingertips. Google, books, you know, blogs, all of that type of stuff. So take the time, you know, read some articles on effective communication, conflict resolution. You know, take an online course, you know, take a community course or something, and just, you know, figure out, you know, read on it. And it's good information to read even if you feel like you don't have an issue. I am big on growth and improvement. So anything that you can do to improve yourself and to improve, you know, your way of life and to make things better, I'm all for it. You know, so that would be my nugget, you know, is to seek the information. It's out there. If you Google conflict resolution, effective communication, proper communication, art of communication, however you want to do it, look it up. You know, hit up the library, half price bookstores, you know, where you can get books very inexpensive and stuff like that to improve your development, improve the way how you talk, how you communicate with your family, your spouse, your partner, your friends, all of that type of stuff. It will benefit you. And you know, and all of that type of stuff. And when you learn how to communicate too well, it also, I think, improves even your professional life, because then you know how to negotiate, you know how to listen, you know how to better understand, how to comprehend, you know, because you're not interrupting people, all of that type of good stuff, you know, it's there. And, you know, so pretty much, you know, that's it for us and the discussion today. We, you know, I think it was a great conversation. I think we touched on a lot of things. We looked at some of how, you know, the conflict that we see happening in the media with, you know, even celebrities and people and all of that type of stuff. And again, yes, you know, as I said, I just used that as an example because it was the most popular one I could think of right now that everybody probably knew about. And I said, just be careful how you start something, because you can never control how someone is going to react or how far they're going to take a situation. So be careful what you start. Think twice before you start something. You know, find another way of communicating to that person or communicating with each other about how you felt, what hurt you, and what disappointed you. And then forgive quickly and move on. You know, do the best thing for everybody involved, especially when you have children. Sometimes it's not, you have to learn and make sacrifices so that you can have a whole life, your child can have a whole life. Sometimes it's not about you and your feelings, and that's what I would say to that. However, as I said, there are tons of information out there. I am big on development and, you know, you just growing as a person and all of that good stuff. And yeah, so I hope something we said, myself or Dee, said, you guys were able to learn something from it, and throughout our rambling, and we may go around the world and whatnot, but yeah, we always get back to the main point and the main meat and potato of the discussion, that it resonated and that you guys got something out of it. And that's what we try to do, is to be real, to be honest, and hope that, you know, somebody gets something from it. You know, you don't have to necessarily agree with everything that we are saying, or see from our perspective, but we are here to provoke thoughts. We're here to provoke learning. We're here to provoke conversation, open up dialogue. And that's one of our main goal and our main purpose with Tea Talk Time, is to provoke conversation, is to provoke thoughts, is to provoke action, you know, and is to get the dialogue going. And I hope we are accomplishing that. And, you know, and that's it for us. And I thank you guys, as usual, for taking the time out of your busy Saturdays to join us every Saturday that we're here, 11 a.m. Central Standard Time, in the discussion or logging on online. We because there's so many other things you could be doing, especially in a weekend, but you choose to join us. So we appreciate you. We love you. We thank you for the continued support. You know, follow us on social media. Everything across the board is us for the same. It's Tea Talk Time with Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Tea Talk Time. Check out our blog as well. It's www.teatalktime.com. You know, send us tweets, inbox us. Let us know how we're doing. You know, if there's any particular things you wanted us to talk about or get our feedback on, discuss, just let us know. Just hit us up, and we will be sure to talk about it. We will respond to you guys' text message, you guys' emails. Emails, instant messages, whatever. Just let us know. And again, thank you guys for joining us. We'll see you guys next week. I think this was a great show. On behalf of my co-host, we'll see you guys next week. Have a fantastic weekend, everybody. Be safe, loving each other. Make sure you tell each other you love them. Don't take each other for granted. Life is way too short. We see everything that has been happening within the media, that life is so unpredictable. It's so fragile. It can change in a moment. So, and that's one of the reasons why I wanted to do this topic as well, because it's so fragile. It's so unpredictable. You know, we really have to be conscious of how we treat each other and the way we talk to each other, the way how we communicate, and the way how we learn to even fight fear with each other, fighting fear with each other in terms of how we do it, because it's, none of us want to live with regrets. So, basically, that's it, guys. Thank you once again for joining us, and we'll see you guys next week. Have a safe and wonderful weekend, and we'll catch you guys in another week. But we are on social media, so hit us up. Let us know what you think. And, peace out. Have a beautiful day. Thank you.